This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Serena Williams at Wimbledon this morning, about to probably win her eighth Wimbledon title. I want to talk a little bit about her and her comeback, if you will, and then try to properly articulate how I feel about her place historically, because there's a lot of phrases and labels and titles that get thrown out around her, like most dominant ever, or best tennis player ever, or best female athlete ever. And I'm not sure exactly which one is the correct one, or exactly which one I believe. So I'm going to do a little bit of searching for that a little bit later in the show, as they get going at 9 a.m., so we'll do that right before then. And I'm going to need your help, because I don't know if anyone's got it exactly right, and I don't know if I exactly know how, you know, it's easy with some players or some people. You know, if you were saying Tom Brady, you would say greatest quarterback ever, right? Or Barry Bonds, best hitter you've ever seen, despite the other stuff, or, you know, Jordan and LeBron, best basketball player. It always feels like there's these subcategories for Serena, because she plays, well, one, because she's a woman, and I mean that in no negative way at all, just because it just typically women's sports are not the number one subject, and she's been so great that she's knocked down any of that. Second, that she plays tennis, which, again, is not generally discussed. So we'll get to it a little bit later. I want to start with the Hall of Fame stuff with T.O. just because it's funny. It's like Hall of Fame levels of pettiness. I don't know if everybody saw this. Apparently, the Pro Football Hall of Fame will not individually acknowledge Terrell Owens upon his induction. Now, at least I think his name is going to be read when they read the class. They're not going to omit him from the class that actually made the Hall of Fame, but there will be no individual recognition. There will be no, you know, this player did this, and therefore he's in the Hall of Fame and all that. And it just continues this cycle that's gone on with T.O. when it comes to the Hall of Fame. And of course, I guess if T.O. wanted to be honored and that was most important to him, he would be there, right? But he'll be at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, announcing and giving his own speech, because he's a little bitter about the whole Hall of Fame process. And it's the original sin that's still the problem here. The original sin is still the problem, and that's led to everything here. There's an argument to be made that T.O. should just suck it up and go. He got in. He got what he wanted. He's causing a spectacle again in typical T.O. fashion by making it all about himself and not going. And then, of course, their response, come on, guys, just because he's not showing up to your little party doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be acknowledged for making the Hall of Fame. But all of this comes from the original sin, which is that this dude had to wait years to get into the Hall of Fame. And that's a disgrace. I mean, that's a disgrace. You're talking about Terrell Owens is second all time in receiving yards and third all time in receiving touchdowns. Top 10 in reception. Second and third all time. I mean, that makes sense because the three best wide receivers I ever saw were Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and T.O. And look, I could make an argument for T.O. over Randy Moss, too. I didn't even necessarily put those guys in order. I can make an argument for T.O. over Randy Moss because Randy Moss was the biggest game-breaking threat at receiver, I think, ever, as far as putting the ball over the top and his speed and his ability to go up and get it. But T.O., I think, might scare me more on every down. You know, T.O. could beat you deep, of course, but T.O. could also catch it across the middle and run with it. T.O. would put a lick on you when he caught the ball. Because he's a big, you know, physical dude. And I'm looking at his career stats right now. In 2000, he had 97 catches for 1,451 yards and 13 touchdowns. In 2001, 93 catches, 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns. 2002, 100 catches, 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns. 2003, 80 catches, 1,100 yards, and 9 touchdowns. 2004, in just 14 games, 77 catches, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. Then when he wound up getting to Dallas, he had 85 catches, 1,180, and 13 touchdowns. 81 catches, 1,355 yards, 15 touchdowns. I mean, those are, I just listed off what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 seasons that would be the best season for a lot of really good wide receivers. And he had double-digit touchdowns in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. Dude was a beast. And I realize that he might not have exactly been the best teammate at times. I'm not even dismissing that. But here's the thing. If you were going to make that argument, right? If you were going to make that argument that he was a negative influence on the team, then why was he on so many good ones? Right? Doesn't that argument immediately fall apart when you say a lot of the teams he was on were good? And there's always going to be somebody out there like, well, he didn't win a Super Bowl, so therefore it doesn't count because the Super Bowl only thing that counts. All right. I mean, he was in a Super Bowl, right? With the Eagles, of course, and played on a mechanical leg or whatever it was in the Super Bowl. He made that clutch catch from Steve Young to kind of put himself on the map. Remember that? That kind of put him on the map. And even when he was in Dallas, that's my quarterback and all that, they had a 13-3 season while he was there. Every season he was there in Dallas, they had a winning season. Every single season, including a 13-win season. So while he may have worn out his welcome in certain places, while he may not be your ideal model of what you would say you thought a great teammate should be, you can't really make the argument that his Hall of Fame case or his career should be denigrated because of it, because he was on winning teams all the time, everywhere he went. I mean, in his prime, at least. Everywhere he went. Could maybe they have been slightly better if he checked himself on certain things? Maybe, I guess. But then you're really nitpicking. So all of this pettiness, Hall of Fame levels of pettiness, comes from the original sin. So I'm not going to blame T.O. even if he's... Maybe this is what he wants, to be honest. You know, it keeps his name going. It keeps the talk around him going. If he was showing up for the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't be talking about him this morning at all, right? But this is all a result. Everything that's happened since is a symptom of the root cause, which is that the Hall of Fame voters, in their insane ego, I mean, that just takes insane amounts of ego. These are the kind of guys who would tell you that they're keeping T.O. out because he had too much of an ego that was destructive of the locker room. In such a self-serving, preposterously egotistical way. Like, the ego you must have to sit there with your Hall of Fame vote and not write his name down is astounding. So shame on you if you were a voter and sat there year after year and didn't put him in, because that's the cause of all this. Again, second all-time in receiving yards, third all-time in receiving touchdowns. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. And, you know, might as well have a little fun with it. It's not a big deal, right? I'm not like, he's getting into the Hall of Fame. It's over with. The whole thing is absurd. So you can weigh in, of course, on Terrell Owens and this whole situation. And if the Hall of Fame is being too petty for not individually recognizing him, or if he should just get over it and show up to the ceremony. But I'm also curious. I want to laugh a little bit this morning. I'm curious, what's the pettiest thing you've ever done? What's the most petty thing you've ever done in honor of the Hall of Fame level pettiness that comes along with this T.O. Hall of Fame situation? So tell me, what's the most petty thing you've ever done or been a part of? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. What is it? We got like these like grooves going on this morning. I got to go out to the yard and kick back and talk about some football. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
That's me, Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Talking a little T.O., Hall of Fame levels of pettiness. Opt-out replay, tweets in, at Robin Lundberg. Totally support T.O.'s Hall of Fame snub. Good on him. Meaning, good on him for not showing up after the original sin. That's what I say is the problem. I'm calling it the original sin. That they ridiculously, in a self-serving, pompous way, arrogant, kept him out for so long when he was obviously the second he became eligible, he should have been in the Hall of Fame. Dodger Blue Jackson tweets in, and I'm also asking in honor of this, for the pettiest thing you've ever done. When I went to Vegas with my ex, I saw her flirting with another man. Instead of confronting them, I went back to our hotel room, got all of her stuff, and took it to the other hotel where our friends were staying and left it at the door, and then I went home. Okay. Slick E tweets in, I unscrewed all the light bulbs a little in my ex-girlfriend's apartment to make her think her lights were off. Hashtag petty gang. Okay. All right, we got some decent submissions. I like that, you know, just a little bit, right? the care that went into the pettiness so she would think her lights are off. Didn't damage anything. Nothing destructive. So you could talk T.O. and the Hall of Fame nonsense. I'm also looking for the pettiest thing you've ever done. 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Danny in Detroit? Danny, you're up first here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? I like your show, but I don't always like your ideas, man.
That's fine.
You know, I mean, what's with the media and you in the last few days, all these other guys suddenly jumping to his side because the Hall of Fame stuck it right back at him?
Wait, hold on. I'll let you continue, but first of all, I'm not like, the media is not like some conglomerate, right? It's not the Borg. You ever see Star Trek, The Next Generation, the Borg, like, you shall assimilate? It's not one collective thought. So don't tell me I'm jumping onto something that I've been on the entire time. I've always, said T.O. is one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. So therefore, he should obviously be in the Hall of Fame.
I'm not disputing the fact he should be in the Hall of Fame, but if he's going to be a baby and decide not to show up, what's wrong with the Hall of Fame saying, fine, don't show up, we're not going to talk to you? Why is that a problem? Today's society, nobody wants to have consequences for their actions. T.O. made a conscious decision. He doesn't want to be there. The Hall of Fame says, okay, fine.
Well, when you say consequences for your actions, you make it seem like it's serious. No, I'm not treating any of this like it's serious. I mean, I'm asking people what the most petty thing they've ever done is. I don't think there's consequences. He's just not showing up to a party, right? That's all that it really is. He's not showing up to a dinner. And the one thing that I think is actually, like, objectionable is them keeping him off for so many years. So that's why I keep referring it to the original sin. Because if you had, I'm dead serious about. If you had a Hall of Fame vote and you didn't vote T.O. the first time he was eligible, you should have your vote confiscated and you should never have a vote on such a thing again.
I agree with you there. 100% he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Not even that he should be in the Hall of Fame. He is, you know, now he is in the Hall of Fame. We're done with that conversation. But I'm talking about the people, Danny, that year in and year out, for however many years it was, 3 years or whatnot, sat there with a ballot and didn't write his name on. They should have their vote taken away from them, and they should never be given a vote of that magnitude again because they make a mockery of the entire process.
I agree with you. It's like that with Baseball Hall of Fame, too. It's nonsense with it. But the fact of the matter that he's saying this is his way of getting back at them, they decided, okay, you want to get back at us? We'll get back at you again. I mean, the pettiness, there's nobody's right, but nobody's wrong either then. You know, you're not going to say T.O.'s right in the Hall of Fame.
When did I say T.O. was right?
No, I didn't say you. I mean, in general.
Okay.
People saying, oh, he has the right to do that. He has the right to do that, and the Hall of Fame has the right to say, well, we're not going to recognize you that day.
Yeah, because the whole thing's stupid and ridiculous, right? That's why I'm making fun of it. Like, I mean, it's cool. We're all good. But, I mean, it's weird to, like, sort of call in and yell at me about something I'm not even saying, right?
Nah, you're saying it. You're saying it.
How did I say it? What did I say?
Just admit it.
What did I say?
You don't agree with the Hall of Fame being petty.
No, I said everybody's being petty. But what I said was the original sin of pettiness, the one thing that I find objectionable is him not getting in for years, and that's what led to all this. Everything since then is just obnoxious. It's just like, all right, T.O. could have gone. They could have then handled it like bigger people afterwards. It just escalated it. But the only reason all the pettiness exists is what took place initially, which was Hall of Fame voters being negligent with their vote.
Okay, well, we agree on that part, because I do agree. T.O. should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, hey, you got a good show. I just don't like when people get away with stuff. And I just think consequences for actions. In today's society, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, you know what? I could say there's somebody in a very high-profile position who has not received enough consequences for his actions. So I would agree with you there. I hope said person sees consequences for their actions soon. I don't know if T.O. it would qualify his actions needing consequences. It's not like, you know, like when you say there's consequences for your action, that's like a lesson a father would impart upon his child. Like when your child comes home from school and he says, you know, I got punched in the nose. And you say, why did you get punched in the nose? And he says, because I called this kid a dummy. And you say, well, there are consequences for actions sometimes, son. You can't call someone a dummy. You might get punched in the nose. Not, I'm not showing up to a party, and therefore they're not reading my name. Like, it doesn't really feel like consequences for actions. It feels a lot more trivial, and that's why I'm trying to have some fun with these petty wars. If you have your petty stories, you share them. 855-212-4227. How about Ryan in Knoxville, Tennessee? Ryan, what's up? You're next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, bud.
What's up?
Two things. So, petty, it wasn't actually me. It was my friend, but I did it. I helped him. I had a truck. He didn't.
Okay.
He found out his wife, or ex-wife now, was seeing another man and was out to lunch with this man while she was supposed to be at work. So he called me to her house, and we loaded up every stitch of clothes she had and took it to the Salvation Army.
All right.
the other thing was my problem with the T.O. not getting in this, and the argument seems to be that Randy Moss is going in, so they're going to put T.O. in. And
well, they both should be.
My problem is I would be more apt to not put Randy Moss in.
Well, no, I mean, Randy Moss should absolutely be in the second. He's eligible also, right? You know, like, these guys don't have to be your favorite. No one's saying, I'm not here
well,
saying.
I mean, it's not, and it's not that, because T.O., as a man, I can't stand him.
Yeah.
He's arrogant. He thinks he's better than everybody on the planet. But, you know, as far as a football player, I never remember a time where something like throwing a temper tantrum because the ball wasn't coming to you, so you walk off the field in the middle of the play.
Sure, but like that shouldn't keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
You don't put somebody in the Hall of Fame. If they're not, when the ball is snapped and the clock is running, if you were a football player, then you play football. If you want to complain on the sideline, fine, but you don't impact the game throwing your fit.
I wouldn't disagree. I'm not sitting here disagreeing with that, right? That's a fairly reasonable point. But that shouldn't keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame because they had a penchant for that sometimes. It doesn't negate. Randy Moss had 9 double-digit touchdown seasons, including one where he had 23 touchdowns in 2007. 23 touchdowns. He caught for over 1,000 yards 10 times. 10 times in his NFL career. So he should obviously be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Again, the three best receivers I've seen, Moss, T.O., and Jerry Rice. But that's where you have to, you know, that's where you have to let your ego go. That's what I was talking about before. These voters, their egos are so enormous. They think they're so important. Like, there's no force in the universe more self-righteous than a Hall of Fame voter, it seems, especially in baseball, but I guess in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, too, where they think they are handing down some sort of judgment by not voting. No, you're being negligent. It's negligence to not put one of these guys in. You can dislike them. You can disagree with them. You could think they could have been better or better teammates, but you cannot reasonably, with any thought, if you're removing your bias, say that Randy Moss or Terrell Owens aren't Hall of Famers. That's ridiculous.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Beastie Boys. Man, when did this song come out? Like, early 1980s. It's got to be his License to Ill. First Def Jam release. LL Cool J and Run DMC. And the Beastie Boys. 855-212-4227. Talking about the pettiness around the T.O. Hall of Fame deal. And if you want to share your most petty stories, the floor is yours as well. 855-212-4227. How about Alan in Toronto? Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
I have a petty story, but first I'd like to say baseball is, their votes are not, they're not voted serious. They're not voted secretly anymore. Baseball is very transparent. That's why my prediction is that Jeter and Rivera are going to have 100% unanimous. You know, I wish they were in the NFL too. And then you're a member of the media, you along with Amy Lawrence or Jim Rome or whoever, you could ask some of these voters as to why they didn't vote for T.O., you know, because they'd have their names. And I guarantee, 100% guarantee, that their logic would not be there. You know, they would not have logic or common sense in any of their
Alan, I think you're correct, because there is no logical position, right? It doesn't exist.
Yeah, so I just wish that they were. I just wish we knew their names and we could catch the culprits that didn't vote for them.
You know what? You're right. I mean, you do remember the names. I remember Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe at the time voted for Carmelo Anthony for MVP, keeping LeBron from winning a unanimous MVP. I guess that was the 2013 season. So if I can remember that, I'll remember some of these specific instances.
Same with, you know, in the old days, DiMaggio and Mantle and Aaron and Mays, the all-time greats, were not unanimously voted. I wish we could have found out who the culprits were that did not vote for these guys, and we could seriously criticize them. There would be widespread criticism for all of these guys. And, okay, my explanation, I mean, my...
Your story of pettiness?
Pettiness, yes, yeah. Okay. I was with another couple, and they were arguing the whole way through, and it was a long walk from the parking lot to the exhibition grounds where we were going. And at the end of our date, I said, okay, you guys wait here. You seem to be pretty tired. One of you is just pretty sick. I'm going to go pick up the car. So I went over to pick up the car, and I just drove home. I just left them high and dry. This is back in 1971. I know
it's because you didn't like them.
Because I didn't like the way they were arguing the whole time. I didn't like them either.
Yeah.
But they were arguing the whole time, and they were just making me sick to my stomach and just generally getting on my nerves.
How far away were they from their destination? Because this was pre-Uber, obviously.
Yeah, about half a mile or so.
Oh, okay. So they could walk. All right. So you didn't leave them out too bad. I can get down with it then. I was going to say, if it was like they were 20 miles away from home and they're stuck out there. But, yeah. A half a mile. They have to sit there and go, where'd he go? Where'd he go for a while? And then they just go home. But judging from your relationship, they probably weren't worried about you. Most people's first thought would be like, oh, no, what happened to this guy? let's go to William in DeKalb, Illinois. William, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, dude?
How you doing, boss?
Good.
First-time caller, big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Here's my take on everything with the T.O. Aside from his off-field antics and, you know, we're not talking about that for a Hall of Fame. We're talking about the fact that his numbers speak for themselves. It's a shame it took him so long to get into the Hall of Fame. The problem that I've had was the fact I grew up, you know, my grandfather was a big Bears fan. Huge Singletary fan. Just the fact that, you know, T.O. with the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, and just learning from my grandfather, I mean, my grandfather's real passionate. It's the fact that I'm trying to figure out the word. You're supposed to be you go to the Hall of Fame to celebrate not only yourself, but pretty much acknowledge those that helped you get to the Hall of Fame. From fans, the teammates, to old coaches. That's my big problem. I feel it's selfish, but obviously that's why we're talking about being petty.
Well, I mean, look, everybody could do whatever they want at the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, there's no universal way to celebrate getting into the Hall of Fame. For some, it might be about what you're saying. It might be about, hey, you know, I guess a level of humility there that this isn't just me. It's my grade school coach. It's my college, you know, mentor. It's my teammate, my rookie year, and so and so, and that's who got me there. For others, they might just want to go, you know what, I did this. It doesn't really matter what you're celebrating. To me, when we get into the details of it, that's when it's fine to bring up things that bother you. Like, if we're having a discussion of the all-time great wide receivers, and I'm making a case for T.O., and someone wants to say, you know what, he wore out his welcome everywhere he was, all right, that's fair for that argument. That's not fair to bring up to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, because there is a certain level of performance that is just unimpeachable. You can't say anything about it.
Even though he did wear out his welcome, he stayed in the league quite some time and he performed. The teams wanted him.
Like I brought up at the top of the show, you know, the idea that he was some cancer is a misnomer, because most of the teams he was on were quite good.
They were winners. His prime, he won everywhere he went. I mean, the big thing that I've always found that stood out is the Super Bowl game. This man's ankle was literally, like, held together with screws. You know? Look what he did. He torched the Patriots. It's a shame they didn't win, but it is itself. To sit there and say he was a bad teammate in that aspect, this guy literally came out with his ankle pretty much just gone. It was held by screws.
He performed. Look, again, you're preaching to the choir in a sense here, and he's in the Hall of Fame now. It's over with, but I think the whole pettiness stems from that again. And T.O. clearly is not the kind of – look, I talked to T.O. twice. In the last 6 months, but one was in person, and you can, you know, feel it from him. There's a legitimate anger there, and almost a bit of, you know, it reads as like a persecution complex from his end. But keeping him out was, that's like if you didn't put Peyton Manning or Dan Marino in the Hall of Fame. That's what T.O. is to the wide receiver position. He's essentially Peyton Manning or Dan Marino or somebody like that. Or, Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith, you know, like, everybody would put those guys in the Hall of Fame. And the only reason he wasn't, the only reason he had to wait was some sort of penance. And again, that's negligence, because you're not, you know, your Hall of Fame vote should not be your personal pulpit. It's not like a platform to get a message across. So I find that topic kind of amusing. The pettiness that's come since it. But this is probably the end of the road. Probably milked it for all it's worth now, because he's going to get in, and then I don't know what the next story is. There like something, is there a banquet he can skip later, or you know, a reunion? That would be great. The 10-year Hall of Fame class reunion show that's airing on some network somewhere, and T.O. doesn't show up, and then they don't mention him, and there's just an empty chair over there. Whose chair is that? We're not talking about him. But, you know, he's going to have his name in the class. I'm sure all of the signage or whatever for the class will have him. They're just not going to single him out. And again, that's as a result of him not showing up. So at some point you could just, here's what I would do if I was, you know, this is the way you get T.O. back, actually. I don't think you get T.O. back by doing what they're doing. That's not effective. That's just giving him more power in this situation. If you really wanted to get T.O. back, you say, hey, we're going to take a second out of our ceremony to recognize someone who's not here. And you list off all the, like, you get him back by recognizing him, actually, by him not being there, and you do this whole flowery thing, and he's not there to get the flowers. That, I think, is how you would hurt T.O. the most, if he's in some sort of bitter feud with you and not showing up, and you stand up and be the bigger person and shower him with praise, and then he's not there to receive the praise. That's how I think you would actually get T.O. back. I don't think there's any measure of accomplishment in getting T.O. back by bringing up again that you kept him out so long, and therefore having guys like me reciting his numbers on the air and talking about how great a player he was. Aside from the other, who else made the Hall of Fame? You know, that's what it's like. This has become such a fiasco. In baseball, every year I call it National PED Day or whatever, because when the Hall of Fame class comes out, all that happens is everybody's talking about the PEDs again, and the guys who didn't make it or aren't in yet, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and those guys, every year. And it's not about the guys who actually got in anymore. And I would say that's the case with the Hall of Fame class this year. It's now about T.O. and not the other guys who actually are going in. So I almost feel bad for them. Let me actually pull them up. So, because I don't want to, I can't even remember now. And I know I remembered it being a really good class, but I can't remember it now because
Urlacher
of all
was
the
one.
T.O. All right,
Urlacher.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, I think, Urlacher. Kevin Mawai, Randy Moss, we were just talking about. Of course, John Lynch, Everson Walls, Edgerrin James. Are these the finalists, or are these the people who got in? I'm sorry. That's a list of the finalists.
Urlacher got in.
Yeah.
So did Ray Lewis and Randy Moss.
So I think that was mostly correct. But let me make sure it was correct for the prosperity's sake. I don't want to have any factually incorrect information being put on the show or the airwaves here. All right, February, they announced the Hall of Fame class. Youngest group, one of the youngest groups in history, Randy Moss, Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, as we said, and Terrell Owens, and Brian Dawkins. So there you go. Along with some like executives and stuff. So good Hall of Fame class, for sure. And that, you know, this shows me I'm getting old. The guys who are getting into the Hall of Fame now are the guys like I watched growing up, rather than like me going, hey, let me go look this guy up and learn a little bit about this guy. It's now, oh yeah, I watched his entire career. I watched his entire career. I am old. Certain things make you feel old.
I remember when he was drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched his entire career.
You know what made me feel older than anything else? And this is a total non sequitur. I saw a picture online of Outkast, the legendary hip hop group, at Big Boy. You know, it's Andre 3000 and Big Boy. His son's graduation. And his son was graduating from high school. And I remember on the record when he first said, got a son on the way by the name of Bamboo. And it feels like that wasn't that long ago. And now he's graduating from high school. So that made me feel really old. I was thinking this was still an infant. And now
I feel like I do that like when I'm watching like music videos too. A lot of times I'll be watching music videos. And like I remember the MTV show Making the Video.
Yeah.
And like I remember actually like watching the making of the video for like these Britney Spears songs and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah,
and
I remember when videos were on television.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's just makes you old, right?
Get that. Actually,
just there. Know. Like, it wasn't on YouTube or Vivo or one of these things. It was on a television. You remember televisions? How old are you? Because that's going to be a thing soon, too. Whatever the new method of distribution is.
I watched, like, 90s Nation. I forgot what channel it's on. 90s Nation. They play all the 90s music videos.
I had a CD player.
Yeah.
I had, you know, actually,
Walkman.
Had a cassette player.
Cassette player, yes.
Yeah, I had a cassette player. I've seen the, I guess, a vinyl into cassette into CD.
Vinyl is back now.
Yeah, vinyl. Well, vinyl's outlasted the CD and the cassette, really. I mean, it's still in the classic sense. The MP3 is what killed CD and cassette. Now the MP3 is dead. Because who's downloading things nowadays with streaming?
The band Blink-182, their last album, which came out a couple years ago, they actually, not only did they put out vinyl, they also put out a cassette of it as well. Yeah.
Wow, Blink-182 is still a band. And there's other news as well. I mean, like, lots of stuff.
Oh, they're one of my favorites. don't crush on Blink-182.
What's my age again? Is that Blink-182?
Yeah.
Hey, boom, I brought it full circle. That was an amazing job by me. All right, talking a little bit about the Los Angeles Lakers before we get into Serena Williams. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.